I don't know if you missed this yesterday, but it was a kind of trending fun news coming out of Roslyn. It's Anna and Raven. Here's the news report on it.
Within the walls of the historic Roslyn Grist Mill, circa 1715, a crew working to restore the landmark stumbled upon a more than century-old time capsule.
That's right.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, they found a 103-year-old time capsule from a 1917 restoration project.
You know, I love to go back in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love a little history. Right, right.
Yeah.
The things that we can learn, that we can garner, Anna's app.
So what did they find in this time capsule?
Hmm.
A half-pint bottle, milk bottle. It had four rare coins in it.
Okay.
They also found two letters in there. One was written in English and one was written in Italian. And what did it say?
Hmm.
I am Romolo Caporelli. I worked on the grist mill. Please remember me.
Is he buried behind the time capsule?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Please remember me.
Right? Please remember me.
I mean, I guess if somebody came to you that day and said, listen, we're gonna you know, sew something up behind the cement or the brick here of the building, write something that will be, you know, viewed by people maybe 100 years from now, I guess what would you write? If you didn't have a speech ready, right? You'd be like, just, that's me.
How are we going to remember you? You didn't write anything about yourself.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been like a match, you know, like header or something like that, like a little bio. They didn't have those then, though.
But it's so, the irony is that yesterday I was going through the cabinet here at work.
Yes.
And I found our time capsule from 2019.
Is that a box or is that, okay.
It wasn't a milk glass bottle like it was here. It was just kind of like a plastic bin.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, right. Are we going to go back in time?
Yeah, let's go back in time.
Oh, I love that.
Get the time machine. Everybody get in the time machine.
I love it.
Let's go back to 2019.
Oh my gosh, it feels like forever ago.
Okay.
So strange to say. Okay.
Oh my gosh, look. Here's the concert tickets to the Taylor Swift Festival, Lover Fest, that we were supposed to be giving away.
That would have been a lot of fun.
Oh, my. Can you imagine the time where we would all crowd thousands of people into a stadium?
That's like 70,000 people right there.
That's nuts.
Yeah, yeah, that is crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at this. A receipt for drinks and food for four paid at 1:45 in the morning.
What?
That never happens.
Wait, you mean that people would hang out till 1:45 in the morning?
1:45, and there was a register open somewhere at 1:45.
That's crazy.
That is insane.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see what else we found in this time capsule from 2019. Oh, my gosh, Raven, look.
Mm.
It's booking reservations. Remember when we were supposed to go on that Royal Caribbean cruise? We were going to go on a cruise. What do we do? Want to die?
Yeah. Sometimes you're just asking for trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last year's MVP cup here from the company, right? No less than 15 people drank out of this cup.
Yeah, we used to have, you know, a long time ago, back in 2019.
Right.
We would have this cup.
Right.
Where whoever was the MVP of the year, the most valuable employee of the year, would win it. And then we would pass it around and we would all drink
Stanley
beer out
Cup
of it.
Fashion. Right.
Yeah.
Everybody would drink from it.
We
right.
would all put our mouth on that. Can you believe there was a time that we hung out right. without masks on our face?
And as I recall, the last time we drank out of it, somebody, at least one person, had the sniffles.
Yep.
At least.
One year I had a full-on cold. I infected the entire office. This year it would shut down the entire company if that happened. It was a little bit odd and self-serving.
You know what? I mean, that's in your head. That's all in your mind.
It's Anna and Raven. Yesterday, Raven and I went to the deli. We went to go pick up sandwiches, and we're standing there, and I noticed something. You know, there's a tip jar. There's always a tip jar at the deli.
Sure, often.
Go ahead. What did you do?
I mean, you wanted to tell the story, I thought, so strongly.
Go ahead.
Anna believes that I waited for the person to turn around before I put the money in the tip jar. She believes that just a slight eye roll or whatever was going on between us, you believe that I was waiting for this person to see it.
Raven, we paid.
Yeah.
And the nice lady turned away to go package away.
Right?
And you had the dollar in your hand.
That's right.
And you didn't.
It was $2, by the way. Thank you very much.
$2. You had the $2 in your hand.
Right.
And you purposely didn't just put it in the tip jar. You waited for her to turn around.
Yeah.
And I saw you hovering. You were hovering. And then you dropped it in and looked at her, and she was like, thank you.
But you know what? Maybe I had a random thought, and I didn't need a thank you from her. I wanted to give her the head nod.
You wanted an acknowledgement that you gave a tip for the tip jar.
Here's the thing, all right? And because you said something to me after, like, I spent some time, and I thought a little bit about this, all right? And for me, it's not really that they know that I got it. Listen, my $2, $3 is not really making a huge impact on their life one way or the other. Obviously, it's collective. The tips that they get that makes any sort of impact, whatever. You know, I just want them to know that I acknowledge or appreciate their efforts. You know what I mean? So I see that they've made my goods. Here is my acknowledgement that you took good care to do it, and I'm with you. That's all I'm saying.
I think
I'm with you.
No, I think that you want the praise and recognition that
no!
like that guy gave me $2. That was so nice of him.
Listen, does it feel good to have them ring the bell and everybody yells thanks? You know, yeah, I like that. At certain delis, they do that.
Yeah, I
enjoy that.
There's no bell at this deli.
On the other hand, you know, I want them to know, like I said, it's a courtesy. I want them to know I understand their work, their struggle, all that.
Let's call it what it is. Is you looking for some recognition for the fact that you tipped your $2? That's what you're looking for. And I found that to be so strange because, for me, you get the money, you shove it in there.
Right.
You change, you put it in there, you shove it in there, and you move on with your life. They know that you're appreciative. You're hungry. You're at the deli. Right. That's why you're there.
Okay. Well, right? I mean, I guess in your frame of mind, right, I guess that's what makes sense. But, you know, that's just what happened. By the way, I had the 30 seconds to wait. I mean, I was waiting. She was turning around with my goods. So what's my rush at that moment?
Just hand hovering over it, waiting, like a little dog waiting for her owner to come home, waiting for her to turn around, and then just... Just dropping it right
in. Isn't the
so
important
gingerly.
Thing that I put it in there at all?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that the important thing?
Do you do this? Just looking for recognition, hovering his hand over the tip jar, waving that $2.
It's not what happened. It was not quite so dramatic as that.
It's Anna on Raven. Yesterday, Raven and I went to the deli and ordered our sandwiches, and we paid. And then next thing I know, Raven has $2 in his hand to put in the tip jar. And I realize he's waiting for the cashier lady to turn back around to acknowledge that he's putting the money in the tip jar.
How long was the wait truly for her to turn around? 5 seconds, maybe 3 seconds, something like that. I mean, I just wanted her to know that I appreciate her work,
mm-hmm.
her struggle, and I wanted her to see where it was coming from. That's all.
You wanted acknowledgement.
I mean, come on, it's $2 on $11.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What's your tip jar protocol?
Tip jar is hysterical. It's $2. Imagine if you would have gave him $5, he'd be like posing pictures in front of a big check.
you guys are terrible. You think the least of me. Instead of the two of you.
I'm dropping 20 in there. See how you feel.
Right.
Oh, man.
Look at this. Look at this quarter.
Listen,
it's all yours, buddy.
If I drop a 20 in the jar, somebody better come outside and change my tires or something.
That's nice.
Right,
that's nice. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your tip jar protocol? And is Raven out of his mind?
Good morning. Well, I'm here to take Raven out of the hole, actually. He probably did it on purpose because the problem is it's a public figure, and at the deli could be someone who knows you guys, and if they see you not tipping, or him or you, they're going to say, oh, look, that's Anna Raven, and they didn't tip. Oh, my God, that's so bad.
No, listen,
you, sir.
Like,
thank you.
No one knows who we are. No one knows.
Thank you, sir. You are correct.
Yeah,
thank
oh, yeah.
you. A very good point.
All right, we're always recognized
I'm going
in the
with
deli.
That guy. I like.
I saved your life. I saved your life. No problem.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What's your tip jar protocol?
So I'm so one of those people. I wait until the person is handing me my change, and then I put the money in the tip jar so they see me and say thank you.
That's right. And ring the bell and say grazie, okay?
Oh, come on.
I want a big pat on the back. Maybe parade me out of this place,
ridiculous.
All right? Put me on your shoulders.
I don't know.
Like they did at the end of Rudy.
But why? Well, like, if you're doing something out of the goodness of your heart, why do you need recognition
you
for
You know
it?
What? What's my heart got to do with it? What's her heart got to do with it? Hand me my sandwich.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What are your feelings on the tip jar?
Well, I gotta say, I just don't believe in most of the tip jars. They're like everywhere lately. It's just like people are asking for money when they shouldn't. Like the people, someone who cuts my bagel should get $1, but they're just putting it in the bag.
I mean, I get what you're saying. If they are the bagel cutter, if it's their sole purpose for being there and working, they're the bagel cutter.
Well,
so why do they get a tip for being the bagel cutter? For doing the one thing they were actually asked to show up and do.
Because it's like a service industry.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cutting you the bagel for
you. So listen, let me give you a scenario. I'm on vacation, right? The guy making the omelet, oh, he's an artiste. So that guy gets a tip. The person that replaces the fruit plate at the buffet, no tip.
Come on.
No tip.
Really?
I mean, there was one at the gas station the other day when I went in.
Like, what is that for?
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your thoughts on the tip jar?
I mean, I think if you're putting money into a tip jar just so that you can hear the cashier say thank you, then there's something seriously wrong with you.
I agree.
It's supposed to be out of the goodness of your heart. And if you want them to praise you for $1, I mean, come on. That's ridiculous.
I mean, I don't need the praise, but I'm just saying I want them to know where that dollar came from. So when they're sitting there and they've got big decisions like, Am I going to wash my hands before I wrap this sandwich? Or am I going to spit in this lunch versus that lunch? I want them to decide not to spit in my lunch.
That seems ridiculous.
I'm
for your
saying,
dollar, for your $1.
Well, I mean, I just want anything that can help in those situations. I want them to consider it.
What's your tip jar protocol? You can head to our Facebook page. Search Anna and Raven.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. And all you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. We got a text, Raven. It says, if you're in a busy parking lot and you make one of your children get out of the car and go stand in an empty parking space until you can swing the car around, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's straight 80s, 90s. I used to have to do that all the time. We would go to the mall. My mom would see a spot. She'd be like, go stand in there.
Right.
And it's when you're a kid, it's the longest 3 minutes of your life.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're just standing there and like cars, you know, you see people throwing up their hands.
Right, right, right. You don't know what's going on. You're the object of their hate at that moment. Right. And you don't understand how the world works enough to realize, like, wait a minute, that's a stranger adult and they hate me and they don't even know me.
My husband did it to try to do it to me the other day.
Tried to do it to you?
Home Depot.
But you're a grown up.
Yeah, he's like, go stand in the spot. I go, I'm not doing that.
To be fair, there's so many curbside pickup spots at all these stores now at this point. When you want to go in a store, you got to park like a quarter mile away, to be fair.
So funny. But this is, I can't believe that people would still do this.
But I wouldn't send my child to do that.
Not anymore. No. Like, it was different back in the 80s and 90s.
Right,
it was fine.
You figure nobody would run over your child deliberately, right? I mean, like, nowadays, you're like, there's crazy people out there.
Yeah.
And people are at the end of their rope.
Right.
Like, on top of it. Like, you just, a normal, rational person will behave very irrational right now.
I can't even imagine my daughter's face, my 11-year-old, if I said to her, go stand in that spot. She'd be like, what?
Hop out right now.
Right. The truth of the matter, though, is that she probably would be so buried in her phone with the TikTok that she wouldn't even realize all the hate of the cars driving by her as she's holding the spot.
They figure she's just a random kid standing in the wrong spot.
Exactly. Right.
If you park on the grass at the cemetery, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, I hate that.
Here's the thing. I went to go hang the wreaths yesterday, okay, at my my father and my grandparents' grave. And so... it's an old cemetery in the center of the city. So, I mean, the pathways are very, very thin to get through with a car. I pull up. There's a gentleman visiting across the way on the other side of the grass, the other side there of the street, and he's parked deliberately in the middle of the road. So I'm like, what if somebody else comes along? There's going to be nowhere for them to travel. So I put my right tires on the grass, all right?
Mm.
And yeah, I know. But there never used to be anybody there before. And now there is somebody in that area, which I didn't realize until I got out after, because here come the guys with the tractor driving by and they put a couple notes in my car and I felt terrible.
Well, you should never.
But the wreaths went up.
It's tough. So here's the problem with a lot of cemeteries. And I've noticed this past too.
Yeah.
Is that if you get a couple cars parked in the same thing, you can't get by.
Nobody can get by.
And there's no like direct. You don't know where you're going.
And I'm not just going up to lay flowers or something. I'm hanging wreaths. It's going to take me 15, 20 minutes to do this.
Yeah, but still, you're literally driving over someone's grave. So let's put it in that perspective.
I'm not taking the guilt off of myself.
Yeah.
I didn't feel great about it. I just, you know, it was a tough spot that I was in. That happened to me yesterday.
How come they don't
wreaths
have
went
parking
up, wreaths
lot?
Went great.
Well, I guess, like, how are you going to walk so far? Cemeteries are tricky places.
You know what I don't
Real
like
tricky.
Either is that they don't allow dogs anymore at the cemetery. And my father's dog, like, if you think that your dogs don't know that you're going to visit somebody, I think that you're wrong. I think that they do know.
You got all deep.
I do.
You got deep. You got out deep.
You know what I do? I mean, the truth is I'll park on the road. I'll make sure I'm on the road from now on the pavement, but I bring my dog anyways.
Okay.
I don't care.
Okay.
What, are you going to confront me?
Mm-hmm.
This was his grand dog.
Okay.
All right?
You mean bring your dog? You're ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I bring my dog, all right, because he likes to visit my dad.
It's still so early in the holiday season, in my mind at least, that I was not prepared for this yesterday, Raven.
You were caught off guard.
Oh, my gosh. Was I ever? It's Hannah and Raven. So I hear a knock on the door. And I look outside, and it's the name, well, I'm not going to say the name of the company. It's the gutter people that clean the gutters.
Sure,
they come.
They're not gutter people. They're people that clean gutters.
Right.
They work for a gutter cleaning company.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And they come 3 times a year. And they automatically come. They just show up.
3 times a year, huh?
Yeah.
A little excessive.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Feels like a lot.
I had no idea. I have no idea. I just signed the contract they gave me. I was like, that seems appropriate.
Wow, your gutter people rang you up on a three-visit contract for a year, huh? Okay.
Is that not normal?
I mean, twice a year would probably suffice. But all right, all right. So they show up to clean the gutters, and it's a good time to do it before everything freezes. So, all right.
So they show up, and they knock on the door. Normally, I'm never home. So they just leave the envelope, like, you know, in the mailbox.
The invoice, right. Yeah, we did it. We were here.
Yeah. So they knock on the door, and I go, oh, hey. I go, let me get you the check before you leave so I don't have to go through the whole process of finding a check, finding a stamp, the whole thing.
Sure.
Okay. And as I'm closing the door, he says, Merry Christmas. And I go, oh, my gosh.
Triggered right there.
And
triggered
I go,
you.
Am I supposed to tip the gutter guys?
Yeah.
So I freak out, and I go on our Facebook page, and it's Anna and Raven, and I go, quick, guys, am I supposed to tip the gutter guys, you know?
I mean, these are the slowest gutter guys cleaning up ever, if you had time to do that and get an answer. So what happened?
They brought the invoice before they started.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I had like a five-minute window, and I'm on our Facebook page, and people immediately start responding on what to do. And it's completely torn 50-50 on whether or not you tip the gutter guys or not.
Oh, thanks for the help, guys.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't even know how much. So the consensus was you give $20 for each gutter guy that comes.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, there's two gutter guys out there. So now, of course, I don't have any cash in the house.
Sure.
I'm not ready for this.
Right.
It's too early in the season for this. So I yell to my daughter, Hayden. Hayden has a stash of cash in her room that she lends
me. Get in the piggy bank.
Yep.
Again.
All the time. Because she knows I have to pay her back with interest. I go, Hayden, go get mommy two 20s. Right. I need two 20s stat. So she runs upstairs and she goes upstairs and she gets the 220s and she comes down. I go, okay. So now I've got the 220s. I go, what am I going to do? I'm just going to hand them $20 bills?
Right.
I don't know what to give. And I don't have the Christmas cards ready. I don't have anything ready.
You can give them the finger point pistols, right? And then be like, and put it in their hand with a handshake. Hey, man, what's up? Then give them the after.
No.
No?
Not
what you did.
I gave them birthday cards. You know how you have generic birthday cards lying around for like when you have to give birthday cards? So I just wrote, it like says happy birthday in the front, and I wrote, and happy holidays.
You repurposed.
And I put $20 in each one, and I brought it out to them, and they were appreciative, but I didn't know what to do.
How do you know how appreciative they are? Right now, they think they're getting a weird holiday card. Did you stand there while they opened it?
No,
that's strange.
I was in my socks, because at this point, now I'm in a rush, and they're done, and I like want to get them before they drive off.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand that. My rule would be this, is if they're the guys installing the gutters, no tip. If they're the guys cleaning the gutters, I think in this one, you might be right. Like, I think it's a service thing, and a tip might be required. I mean, I don't know what your contract is for. It's already three times a year. So if it's $20,000,
no.
I'd pull that tip back. I wouldn't be paying these guys out. But yeah, I mean, ironically, similar situation yesterday. You're texting me about the gutters and tipping them. We're having a conversation about it through that. And my TV delivery guys show up from PC Richard and Son. Couldn't have been nicer. Couldn't have been better. In and out quick. Of course, my dogs are trying to kill them the entire time. And they could not have been better. They go out the door. I'm trying to calm down one of the dogs still at this point. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have to tip these guys.
Right.
I run for my wallet. I get the cash, which I don't have a ton, but I've got some cash on me. I'm like, I'm just going to give them everything I got.
Right.
I go running out the front door, and they're pulling away. And I've got one crazy animal under my arm.
Yeah.
And I'm in socks also in the driveway.
The moral of this story is you got to prepare now for when they start showing up at your house because it's the holiday season. And I totally forgot about all these people that are going to start showing up that you have to tip.
Rule number two, get more birthday cards.
Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Santa needs our help. And that's why he has asked us to create the Santa Tip Line. It's Anna and Raven. You can call 24/7 833-431-0905. Leave a message for the big guy. He wants to know who's been naughty and who's been nice. Let's check those voicemails.
Oh, hey, Anna and Raven. Let's see who called the Santa Tip Line today.
Message received yesterday.
Hi, Santa. It's me. I know we talked before, and Brady and Kaylee were being very good. But right now, they're not listening to me. And I told them I would call. So if they get better, I'll call you back, and I'll tell them that they are listening. But for right now, they have to be on the naughty list. When they get better, I'll let you know.
Message deleted.
I love that you hear a little bit of squirming in the background.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. phone, please.
I'll be better.
I'll be better. Just hang up. Mom. Right. So sorry.
I probably bought her about, I don't know, 23 to 45 minutes worth of silence after that.
Yep.
And then things went right back to how they were.
Yep.
Message received yesterday.
My grandma has been bad.
I don't believe you.
Whose grandma is bad?
Right.
Is there such a thing as a bad grandma?
You know what? Right now, either he's asking for something he's not getting for Christmas, or he, I don't know, he did something in the house.
And he didn't even explain why. I'm so curious as to why was grandma bad. What did grandma do?
Yeah, it's deep state. Deep state stuff. All right, it's conspiracy and nobody knows.
If that's you, call back and let us know why your grandma's being so bad.
Right.
Message received yesterday.
I have this friend at school. She keeps bragging and making me. She keeps taking in my gears and saying that they were hers. And she keeps looking on my papers. And she keeps laughing at me when something bad happens. And yeah, goodbye.
I mean, that's
so
if
mean.
They take your ideas and they pick on you and they laugh when you have misfortune. That's not your friend.
Not your friend.
It's not your friend at all. It's not your friend.
But they definitely belong on the naughty list. That's for sure. You're right about that.
And you know, I believe if you put more people on the naughty list, you are destined to get more presents.
Mm-hmm.
Message received.
Hi, Santa. This is Alice. I am one of your elves for your job this year. Anyways, I just wanted to say that I've been doing a great job, especially my 2-year-old niece now is doing a great job. So I would love to put her on the nice list. Have a great day. Bye.
Message deleted.
Did she say she was an elf?
Yeah, she said she was an elf.
I mean, if you're an elf, I don't know if you have to call the Santa tip line. Can't you just go into his room?
Right.
Like, go next door?
Walk across the hall, maybe hit the intercom button, right? Pass on that message.
Do you think that Santa...
I think she wanted a little credit for being an elf, if I'm being honest.
Do you think Santa is such a diva that, like, he has his own private office at the North Pole that the elves can't come? No way!
Are you kidding me? Of course he does.
No, he doesn't.
It's a massive office. It has a private in-suite bathroom and one of those showers. I love executive showers. He's got to have one of those.
All right, if you want to call the Santa tip line, you can call anytime you want. Just leave a message at 833-431-0905. I love this. Pentatonix performing last night at Rockefeller Center.
Oh, my favorite.
I know. The tree is lit, but it's definitely going to be different to see it this year in Santa and Raven.
I mean, let's face it. When you go to see the Rockefeller tree, it's beautiful. It's definitely, you know, there's a feeling of magic in the air and so forth. But for me, it's crazy every time I go.
100%. It's Anna and Raven. We go, I mean, every year. It's always our Christmas Eve tradition.
Sure.
Which is funny because this year, I got to be honest, I don't know.
Like, right.
I don't think we should go. You know, I'm worried for the
kids. I mean,
kids.
Would you be even able to get there at that point at that time?
Well, here's the thing is that they have come up with all these new protocols to go in to see the tree. And I really like the protocols. I think that 2020 is terrible in so many ways, but there's certain things that it's done that has actually been better.
So how is it going to work? Because usually when you go to the tree, obviously it's chaos. Right? I mean, just to get
every
near
man
it,
for himself.
You've got, right. Yeah. Everybody's come to the city. Some people have a plan, but most people do not. They're just diving in and they don't really have the experience of being down there all that often. So, you know, to get into the spot and get close to it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So here's the protocol usually when I go normally, yours not in 2020.
Right.
I go, my daughter, the little one, is probably hysterically screaming in the stroller because she doesn't want to stay in the stroller.
Right. It's cold. She doesn't understand what she's doing there.
Then she sees the guy that walking by on the cart that has all the light up things, the light up swords and all that. Then she starts screaming because she wants that.
Right.
The blow up.
Princess wand.
Yeah, I want princess the
princess wand. Give me the princess wand with the fiber optic cables.
Finally, I'm shoulder to shoulder with about 5,000 other people.
Yeah.
And I get close enough to the tree. And then all of a sudden I look around and I'm trying to find the person that I can give my phone to take a picture of us that I think won't steal my phone.
Won't immediately run in the opposite direction.
Right. Not going to be like that this year. So you show up, and the tree viewing entrances are only located between 49th and 50th Streets and 5th and 6th Avenues. Those are the only ways that you can get in.
One way in.
Yep. Center Plaza is completely closed. So you line up, and they've created these little socially distant pods, and you can only have 4 people per pod. And you line up in there.
What if your family's 10 people?
Then they separate you into different pods.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So you have to pick the 4 people you want in your picture.
Right.
So what happens
Eliminate the third child. Sorry, guys.
Sorry, Tommy.
Right.
You've got those pimples this year.
Stand here with this stranger.
Now, once you get there, you line up and you get 5 minutes at the tree. But here's what I love. There's queuing, virtual queuing. So if there's a long line, which, I mean, let's be honest,
They'll, like, text you updates or whatever. They'll let you know. Wow.
They assign you a wait time, and they assign you what time to come back, and you hold your place in line. And I'm here for that. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I wish they would do that for New Year's Eve. I'd go back to see the ball drop at some point in my life if they would do that.
Just hold the spot, right?
Can we keep that for after the pandemic is over?
Exactly.
It's kind of great.
That's what I was thinking, too. I'm like, that actually makes me want to go see the tree now if I can just reserve my spot.
Right.
Right. 2020 has its share of downfalls, but there's some things that have been beneficial.
Well, I've seen it in the holidays, man. Black Friday was great. I told you, like, people were not out. And I loved the fact that places were closed on Thanksgiving. So Black Friday was really Black Friday again. It was fantastic. Everybody should be afraid of the store on Black Friday, except me and my wife. I thought that was great. And then takeout has come so far.
Yeah.
Takeout is the best now. Everybody curbside. Has an online menu.
Uh-huh.
Everybody has curbside. Everybody will give you extra napkins. Everybody does it a great job packaging.
And you could buy your favorite margarita from your Mexican place. You could never take that for takeout before.
I nearly forgot that.
Yeah, see? That 2020 wasn't so bad after all.
Thank you, Rockefeller Tree, for bringing our attention to this matter.
Metal Monolith Mania, Raven. That's what they're calling it.
Oh, yeah. I love me some of that alien monolith mania.
If it wasn't 2020, it would literally be the biggest story of the year. But, you know, COVID.
That's true.
Yeah. Santa and Raven. So it started in Utah. If you're just catching up on this story, it's been all over the place the last few days. A 10 to 12 foot three-sided metal beam that they call a monolith just showed up in the middle of the desert out of nowhere.
I mean, they don't just call it. That's what a monolith is.
Okay, that's what a monolith is. Okay. I never heard of a monolith before
this. It's in the dictionary.
Okay.
All right, it's not new.
And, of course, all the conspiracies start coming in. Is it art? Is it an alien? Is it some kind of weird government thing, you know?
Right, I mean, because the government. That doesn't make any sense. I'm thinking it's an artist.
Well, what happened is that people started flocking to see it. Like, they were going crazy. They were coming on buses, helicopters, bikes, and all of a sudden, it was gone. Here's one of the witnesses.
We showed up, and there was nothing there. For a moment, we were just in disbelief, like, what is happening? It was really scary. I was nervous.
Because somebody showed up to steal the monolith?
Yeah.
And they were going to come and take you next? Well, I mean, what makes you nervous about that?
If you believe it's the aliens and the space odyssey and all that.
Well, what would make you more nervous? Mm-hmm. Showing up to this place in the middle of the desert, finding the monolith the first time when nobody had talked about it, or it disappearing after everybody had it on Instagram?
I have no idea. So the whole thing just boggles my mind. So here's one of the Utah officials talking about it because it just disappeared out of nowhere.
Kind of a hard thing to investigate, where we don't know where it came from, when it came from, or where it went. It is a little surprising that maybe it lasted as long as it did. I think it's a little more surprising that it was able to disappear in the middle of the night.
Right. So everyone is baffled. But it turns out that when it was taken down, there was actually witnesses there. I guess they protect the monolith in the middle of the Utah desert.
No, they were getting cool photos with it.
That's what they were doing.
I saw selfies. That dude on Instagram.
Yeah.
Right.
All four of them pushed it over to the one side and then pushed it back to the other side, and it just fell straight onto the ground. Right after it had fallen over and made a loud thud, one of them said, this is why you don't leave trash in the desert. And as they were loading it up and walking away, they just said, leave no trace, and left.
So somebody...
It got people around there so mad because people were going out. There's no bathrooms out there. People were pooping.
Well, they were doing disgusting things.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So that's it. And then he goes on to say, like, he debunks all the things about the aliens, and he says,
aliens were not involved in any way, shape, or form in this thing. They had nothing to do with it, nor was it some secret government project.
No one knows where they came from.
But so wait a minute. So, I mean, he's not telling us where it came from.
Right.
And then the other one shows up in Romania.
Right. And then yesterday, one shows up in California. They just keep popping up all over the world. Now, are these copycats, or are they just somebody that is doing this? It just has a jet or something.
It's got to be like an artist or something like that, or some sort of message they're trying to get across, right? Because let's be honest. Nobody's got that much stainless steel rolling around, all right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's at least two refrigerators full of stainless steel, the one that I saw in California. And Romania, nobody's paying attention to what's happening in Romania anyways.
Why Romania? It doesn't make any sense.
Don't know. Maybe if I had a map in front of me, I could look how it lines up with Utah or something. That's if I believed it was aliens. It's got to be some sort of corporation or charitable organization, right? Or it's an art project.
No, it's like one of those like weird things where it just wants to get everyone's attention, and then it just, I don't know.
Right. You do that when you have a corporation or a charitable thing. That's what I'm saying. You don't just do it to be like, those are the monolith guys.
Right.
And then there was nothing after that. I mean, there has to be something with it.
Well, to be continued, I guess.
Oh, man.
The Anna and Raven Show.
People are putting up their Christmas trees much earlier this year. And how do you keep it alive? It's Anna and Raven. Jiro is the owner at Prianti Farms in Dix Hills. So, Jiro, have you found that you've already had a lot of people coming to pick up their trees this year?
It's been an earlier season than usual.
So what do you do to make your tree live longer?
Give it a fresh cut and make sure the water doesn't run out of the tree stand, because then it slicks over. And there's preservatives that you add to the water that keep the bottom from, they call it like waxing over or slicking over, so it keeps absorbing water. And keep it in a cool environment. Don't put it near the heat. You can put a humidifier in the room to keep the air a little humid.
I keep my lights on all the time. Is that bad for the tree? Because my husband says it makes it dry out faster. Well, but I'm like, they don't even give off heat.
Some of the lights do give off. It depends on what type of light it is.
Okay.
You know, I've already got my tree in the stand, and unfortunately, my wife has taken the last 3 days to let me know intensely how much the water is not being absorbed at this point. She says the tree's brand new, tree's not drinking anything. I said the tree came in full because it rained for a couple days before that. Is that totally fake, what I'm saying to my wife?
Well, it helps if, you know, if it was in a moist area. But you got to make sure it was given a fresh cut on the bottom, and then that you put it in water within a few hours, and the water never ran out.
Huh.
Yeah. That's fresh cut thing. I just don't know if I took too long. You know, like
I
cut the tree down,
it.
Then I took it home. Then I trimmed the bottom.
No, you're fine.
I don't know.
It's just full. It's full right now.
I'm just nervous.
It'll be thirsty tomorrow.
I mean, she's on top of this thing. She's got a finger in that bowl under it all the time.
Raven and his wife have returned trees many times.
So why would you tell him that?
Because you're psychotic for doing it. Have you ever heard of anybody returning their Christmas tree?
Over the past 30 years we've been selling trees, maybe a handful.
No. See, Raven? All right, so what do you do with the trees that you don't sell at the end of the season? I call them the sad reject trees that are ugly and nobody wants.
We use them. The past few years, we sell down to just about everything. And then we just use them in the nursery as a wind barrier for our nursery trees and shrubs. Many, many years ago, we used to donate them, I think it was to the town of Northport, or one of the towns just actually bring them down to the beach to stop erosion.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow. Do you get sad when the trees grow up that you've seen become from a little sapling or whatever, grow up and then go off to prom? Does that make you sad? Or to college, right? You see those trees go?
I'll stand them up in the backyard and keep them for a while.
See that? You get close to them.
Yeah.
What day does your tree come down? That's the big question. Is there a normal day that it comes down, or is it just every year it's different?
It's usually after Little Christmas, which is, I believe, sometime in early January.
Yeah.
Right. You wait till your wife tells you that one, too.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. We get
right.
It. Yeah.
Right. Oh, is that today? Great. I knew it. Right.
It's Jiro from Prianti Farms in Dix Hills. Thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Ed and Janine. Janine, let's start with you. What's going on?
My sister's kids are just a nightmare. Complete bullies. They're 5 years old and 7 years old, but they're the biggest bullies that you've ever seen, and they're just constantly picking fights with our kids, berating our kids, calling them names. They had my daughter crying last week, and I watch her two kids every Tuesday for her. You know, they come to my house and I watch them, and I want to tell her that I'm not watching them anymore because they're just having a really detrimental effect on my kids, and I can't stand them, honestly. So that's where I'm at with it.
I mean, they are kids. They probably just need some better direction. You can't kind of take control of this, take hold of this situation, teach them the right way.
I try to, but they're not my kids, you know, and I've talked to my sister several times about it, and she does nothing.
No, she does nothing.
You can't parent someone's children for them. You can do as much as you can to instill good values in your own home, but, like, it starts at their home. And if she's not going to do anything about it, then they're not going to change.
Okay.
I mean, my auntie just pulled out the shoe. I'm telling you right now. You get that?
Well,
I mean, Ed, you think she should continue watching?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, they're children. They're going through something. Parents are getting divorced. It's like, this is the time that we need to be supportive. And I'd like to make the point that our daughter cries, period. You know, like, whether or not
true,
she's
some
being
kids
bullied
cry.
By... Yeah, she's going to cry. Okay, so
well, when someone tells you that you look like an ugly little rat constantly, which is what Michael does to her,
So then we set.
Okay, I don't
want to
get into he said, she we can't. Said.
Right. That's. I think the bigger question is that Ed, do you think that you need to be there as an aunt and uncle, especially right. if they're going through a hard time? But I see Janine's side too. If you've talked to your sister and said, "Hey, you know, your kids are really fresh and they're really upsetting my kids, and you know, you still have to watch them," I could understand why you would say, "That's it, I'm not watching them anymore."
Yeah, it's not a pleasant situation, but it is family, right? And he makes a great point: is that if there's ever a time that these kids are going to need you, this is the time right now. We can't help solve it right now. That problem just gets pushed down the road to somebody else, and these kids don't benefit.
And you watch them regularly. Like that's
every Tuesday. And listen, I've tried, you know, I've tried to set boundaries and I've tried to discipline them, but there's only so much discipline you can do, and they really oftentimes don't respond to it, and they've ruined my furniture.
Okay, all right. Okay, we get it. You're frustrated, Janine, and our audience may agree with you that if you've talked to your sister about this and she hasn't been able to get them to behave any better, then it's not your responsibility to watch them on Tuesdays anymore. That's it. But they may see Ed's side too. They're going through a rough time, and family is family. And if their parents are going through a divorce, I mean, I see your side too, Ed. How about we see what the audience has to say? Janine says she's had it. She has a 5 and 7-year-old nephew that she watches every Tuesday for her sister, but they're so misbehaved, they even make fun of her children and bully them.
Well, I mean, kids can be kids. If they're not getting attention all the time, there could be some problems. Obviously, we know that there's conflict going on in their household. Her nephews, their parents, are getting a divorce right now. So on top of that, the kid's mom may be a little bit scatterbrained, too.
Right. But Janine says she's talked to her sister, and her sister really hasn't done anything to change the kids' behavior, and she doesn't want to watch them anymore. But her husband says that they need to be there for the kids now more than ever.
This is the worst time we could jump ship, says Ed.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court with Anna and Raven.
I am on the wife's side. I do understand that children are children, but they have to get instruction from home saying that, you know, when you go to their house, you have to do what you ask to do. You have to be appreciative that you have somewhere nice to go, and you have to respect the rules. And you know what? I have a friend that had a hard time in a similar situation, but when I had their children in my house, they were the best behaved children. They're not even my family. It comes from the parents. So her sister should get a rude awakening and respect the home and teach their children appreciation.
And Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on his side. These kids need a firm, guiding hand. The mom is probably letting get away with all kinds of stuff because of the divorce. So they really need the aunt to kind of step in and give them some guidelines and discipline if she can.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Oh, I'm definitely on the wife's side. I think she's trying to do a stellar job, but anybody that belittles your kids constantly, it's not good for their self-esteem. Their family members, that doesn't give them a free pass to pick on their kids. The husband's got to open up his eyes, and if he feels that good about her watching him, he should take the day off and watch the kids himself.
That's true.
But what he's saying is completely irrational.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Janine, our audience agreed with you. If you've gone through the proper channels of talking to your sister and you've tried to discipline them yourself and you're not getting anywhere, they're not your kids. You can just say, you know, I love them very much and I love you, but right now it's not best for me to watch them anymore on Tuesdays.
No, thank you. I am glad someone's on my side.
Ed, you going to be all right with this?
No. I think that you take care of family. I don't think that you turn them away.
Well, baby, you can take them to the park. You can do whatever you want with them whenever you want. So you can be there for them, but I'm just not going to have them being destructive to our family and our kids.
Well, I think what we can all agree on is it's a no-win situation and it's a stinky situation to be in, period. But we do wish you the best of luck. And if anybody else has an issue, send us an email to couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, this is Alexandra.
Hey, Alexandra. You're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck.
All right, Alexandra. We got $200 on the line today. Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite him back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven, though. You ready to play?
Yeah.
Okay, Alexandra, here we go. Number one. It was revealed that Baby Yoda's actual name is Grogu. On what Disney original series will you find Baby Yoda?
The Mandalorian.
Number 2, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer aired earlier this week and it sparked controversy about Rudolph being bullied. Including Rudolph, how many reindeer did Santa originally have pulling his sleigh according to the 1949 song, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
12.
Number 3, Cardi B was named Billboard's Woman of the Year. Cardi B has a music competition show called Rhythm and Flow. What streaming service is it on?
Netflix.
Number 4, People Magazine named their People of the Year, and 4 people this year will each get their own cover. Dr. Fauci, Regina King, George Clooney, and this artist that sings songs like Lose You to Love Me and Love You Like a Love Song. Who is that?
Selena Gomez.
And number 5, Will Ferrell turned down $29 million to make an Elf sequel. What's Will Ferrell's character's name in Elf?
Buddy. Buddy the Elf.
All right. Not bad. Let me bring Raven back in. Raven!
Yo!
Okay, Alexander got 4 out of 5.
Pretty good, Alex. Let's see how I do.
Yep. Number 1, it was real that Baby Yoda's actual name is Grogu. On what Disney original series will you find Baby Yoda?
Mandalorian. Just started watching it, believe it or not.
Yep. Number 2, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer aired earlier this week, and it sparked controversy about Rudolph being bullied. Including Rudolph, how many reindeer did Santa originally have pulling his sleigh, according to the 1949 song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
That's easy. There's 9.
That's right.
And they were all bullying him, including Santa having some questionable moves, and his dad, Rudolph's dad.
Okay.
Jerk.
Very
dad.
Upset. Goodness.
It's upsetting when you watch it.
Yeah. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donder, Blitzen, and of course Rudolph. Number 3, Cardi B was named Billboard's Woman of the Year. Cardi B has a music competition show called Rhythm and Flow. What streaming service is it on?
I'm just going to take a guess and say Spotify?
No, it's on Netflix. All right.
Oops.
Yeah, what are you even saying? Spotify.
I thought it was a podcast. I have no idea.
All right. Number 4, you need both of these to tie Alexandra. Number 4, People Magazine named their People of the Year. It's 4 people this year that each are going to get their own cover. Dr. Fauci, Regina King, George Clooney, and this artist that sings songs like Lose You to Love Me and Love You Like a Love Song. Who is that?
Is that Selena Gomez?
Yes.
Why would she win it this year?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to read that because that doesn't make much sense. Okay.
Yeah. And number 5, you need this to tie Alexandra, otherwise she wins this $200. Will Ferrell turned down $29 million to make an Elf sequel. What's Will Ferrell's character's name in Elf?
Buddy.
Yes, buddy.
Oh,
I didn't know
my favorites.
That.
That's your favorite.
It is
and
my
it's
favorite.
One of my favorites.
Can you imagine turning down $29 million?
I hear he really, really, really did not get along with the director, Jon Favreau.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Although all I really want in my life is a sequel to Elf. I really do. Yeah. I've already watched it, I think, 7 times this year.
I'd be here for that.
Yeah. Alexandra, he tied you. That does get you your own Anne on Raven t-shirt.
All right, sounds good. It's Alexandra, and I can't be Raven.
Enjoy that shirt. Better luck next time.
We'll have another shot for you to win tomorrow morning, same time. We throw another $100 in the jackpot, so tomorrow it'll be $300. And I'll have the cheat sheet, the first 2 answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions. First one's at noon, second's at 5:30 today.